So Daniel 12 tonight, we are going to read the whole chapter. Then we'll review the main idea of the chapter and the 4 points that we got last week. And then we'll finish out points 5 through 9 of the 9 marks of eschatological discipleship. So Daniel chapter 12, the whole chapter, beginning in verse number 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince that standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight for this powerful book, the Bible. We ask that you might guide us here tonight as we conclude the book of Daniel. It's been an exciting travel through this book, and we ask that once again tonight that you would lead us and you would guide us and that you would give us something tonight which will be a real help and a blessing and encourage our hearts as we look forward to that day when you're going to come back and take us home to be with yourself. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me now for the message, and I'm looking to you to direct it, and I don't look at myself at all, but trust and depend in you. We want to hear from you tonight. I want to hear from our great God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's who we want to see, high and lifted up. And we ask that you would make that plain for us to see here once again this evening. And we ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 9 marks of eschatological discipleship. The main idea, in light of God's sovereign control over history and the promised return of Christ, God's people must pursue 2 things. Faithfulness and fruitfulness. That's what we're after as the people of God all the way to the end. And then we got into the first several points. Number 1, be comforted by God's protection from verse number 1. Number 2, be ready for trouble and intense persecution, verses 1 and 7. Number 3, count on God to rescue his people. Number 4, hope in the resurrection, verse number 2. And then tonight we pick it up in number 5, the 5th mark of eschatological discipleship, live wisely and point others to Christ. Live wisely and point others to Jesus. And we get that from verse number 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. We can analyze and pick apart verse number 3 and give it a little phrase to encapsulate it, a soul winner's promise. A soul winner's promise. Live wisely and point others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are wise are busy pointing souls and making disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." This verse tonight is motivational and it is evangelistic. And we can take that along with us and let it motivate us in our lives this week. The gospel is not like toilet paper, something to be hoarded. I don't know if you're a hoarder, but I have become a hoarder. I mean, if they're going to hoard, I'm going to hoard. But the gospel is not something that we're to hoard. The gospel is something we're to give it away. And of course, if you came to me and said, "I need some of that TP, I'd be glad to give you some. So you just call me up, I make deliveries. So let me know." But the gospel is not something to be hoarded. It is free, and it is to be handed out to people all around. Point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the devil's not interested in you doing that, is he? Not at all. He wants us to be quiet, stay home, and wear a mask so you can't talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what he's after. But those who point others to righteousness, to the Lord Jesus, will shine like the stars of heaven forever. So verse 3 is motivational, and we should meditate. This is a good verse to meditate on. Let it motivate you when you go out that door and look for opportunities that you can share the good news with someone else. The sixth mark of eschatological discipleship is treasure God's word and grow in your understanding of it. Treasure God's word and grow in your understanding of it. That's verse number 4. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Let me start with that last part. Isn't knowledge being increased today? I mean, yes, they're dumbing down the kids in the school. They're not letting them go to school. But as far as wisdom and learning and amazing things being done by mankind, it is incredible some of the things that are being done today. Knowledge is increased. There is no doubt. But we want to focus on treasuring God's word and growing in our understanding of it. So at first glance, it might be easy to miss the meaning of verse number 4. The idea in verse number 4 is not to hide the words, but to protect them, to keep them safe. Protect them and keep them safe. Shut up the words and seal the book has the double sense of authenticating and preserving intact the word of God. The closer we get to the end, and it seems like we are really motoring quickly towards the end right now, the more important God's word and the understanding of it will be. Now today, since we are so far ahead of where Daniel was in his day, there is more understanding by God's people. And those who want to know and those that want to understand are going to get illuminated by the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we understand the Word of God, as we near the end, we will have great insight and grasp more and more meaning from the Word of God. As we grow in understanding and desire to know more, we will get that illumination and more understanding. The seventh mark of eschatological discipleship is patiently trust that God will end things at the right time. Patiently trust that God will end things at the right time. This takes in the biggest group of verses here in these nine marks, and that's verses 5 through 9. Verses 5 through 9. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two. The one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and an half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So patiently trust that God will end things at the right time. Are you a patient person? John Mathen and I were traveling down to Wally's this week to get rid of his snow, and we had that talk about patience. Patience driving. Patience with people who get distracted on the road, people who don't drive very well. How is our patience? How good are you at being patient? Well, we need to just let it alone, because God's going to take care of it, and it's going to happen when it's time to happen, and that's it. And we're not going to rush it along. Now, there might be some people in our government that are going to rush it along, but we're not going to rush it along, are we? Patiently trust that God will end things at the right time. Well, verses 5 to 9 contain an interesting part here of Daniel's vision. Who are these characters talked about in the vision? Well, we know that Gabriel has been talking to Daniel. We know that. Now, in our text right here in 5 to 9, two more angels join Gabriel. They are standing on both banks of the Tigris River. Then there's the man clothed in linen above the water of the river. He is the glorified Son of God, robed in his priestly purity. One of the angels asked the Son of God, how long will it be to the end of these wonders? Once they start, how long? How long till it's over? Well, the angels don't know this. God has sent ministering angels to Daniel, but even they don't know everything. The Son of God raises both hands to heaven and says it'll be for 3.5 years. It is a terrible time of distress, and it will end right on time when God says that it will end. It is on God's timetable. Then when evil has done its worst and the hopes of God's people are gone, then God is going to act. God is going to intervene. Daniel says in verse number 8, I heard, but I understood not. Then Daniel asked, what shall the end be of these things? And the Son of God says, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Daniel, you have received all that you're going to get for now. This prophecy and the understanding of it will become more clear as God unravels it as time goes on. The word is protected. The word is preserved. It will happen at the exact moment that God intends for it to happen. What should you do as believers? What should we be doing in light of what we're seeing here in Daniel 12? Well, from the title of this section, we know, first of all, we're to be patient. We're to wait. Be faithful and trust God. Just keep being faithful. Be fruitful and trust God. God will be right on time. The eighth mark of eschatological discipleship is pursue holiness and rejoice in its fruits. Pursue holiness and rejoice in its fruits. Verse number 10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. The wicked shall do wickedly. It just boggles my mind about the wickedness that is happening in our country and around the world. Terrible, terrible wickedness is happening, and you wonder, how is it going to get any more wicked? But it is. And so we're not going to talk about all of those things that are happening. We just need to know the Bible is right on when it says the wicked shall do wickedly. When it comes to the end times, there are things that we know and there are things that we do not know. Just like Daniel, there are some things here we do not know. We have not gotten it figured out, not been enlightened on that. God has chosen not to reveal some things to us. One thing we do know is how we are to live in light of Jesus coming at the time of the end. The good news is that God will see to it that the things related to our redemption are going to come to pass. They are going to happen. God will see to it that His holy people, Israel, they will be purified, cleansed, and refined, as it says here in verse number 10. On the other hand, God's enemies, the wicked, are only going to be hardened in their sin and rebellion against God's sovereign authority. Dale Davis says it like this, quote, "The wicked will, what else, act wickedly. None of the wicked will understand. Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. But only the wise will come to understand. The wicked remain in their accustomed darkness. But the Lord's wise ones will discern the issues of the time, what they are called to do, and what it will cost them. Their, quote, understanding may also include having more exact clarity about the meaning of the revelation given via Daniel's books." So he says that very, very nicely. The ninth mark of eschatological discipleship is endure to the end. Endure to the end, knowing it is worth it. Endure to the end, knowing it is worth it. Verses 11 to 13. "And from the time that the daily sacrifices shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." Endure to the end, knowing it is worth it. It is always good to remember that there are things about the end times that we simply cannot explain. God doesn't reveal the whole deal. Okay? He does not reveal the whole deal. We have a reference again here to the abomination of desolation, verse 11. That comes up in chapter 9, 27, 11, 31. It comes up in Matthew 24, 15, and 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4. I'm going to let Dale Davis help us out once again when he says this. Verse 11 is speaking of the repression of true worship, the regular offering taken away, and the imposition of false worship, an appalling abomination put in place. We have already noted that Antiochus Epiphanes would do this sort of thing. Chapter 8, 11 to 13 and 11, 31. Yet there will be another near the end who will out Antiochus Antiochus. One who will not only put a stop to legitimate worship, 9:27b, but along with abominations is himself one who makes desolate or is causing horror, 9:27c. Now in 12:11, under the support of this final scourge of history, the abomination making desolate appears again. I think Jesus has 9:27 and 12:11 in view when he refers to the abomination of desolation in Mark 13:14. Even though abomination in that text is a neuter noun, the following participle is masculine, where he ought not. Jesus agrees with Daniel 9:27 that the abomination is supremely a person and assumes that his appearance is future to Jesus' own earthly ministry. Well, this explanation works, but what of the 1290 days of verse 11 and then the beatitude in verse number 13? 1335 days. What is up with that? Well, we don't know for sure. We do know that, and I did the math myself, the 1290 days comes out to 3.5 years. And the 1335 comes out to 3.65 years. It has been suggested that that is meaning that there is time allotted after the tribulation ends for judgment and for the millennium to begin, when everything's going to be great for Israel. You can take that for what it is worth. What we do know is God's promises to bless those who endure these awful times of persecution and opposition. God has sovereign control over all of these numbers. So there is hope, even though the numbers are mysterious. The book concludes with a final word for Daniel that is also helpful for us. Look at verse number 13. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Daniel, you are in your last years, but I still have work for you to do. When it's time for you to retire from my work, I will bring you home. Then you will rest, because you will be with me. Then, as I promised you in verse number 2, you will stand to receive your allotted inheritance, your rewards. This will happen at the end of the days. So for us today, all of us dear Christians, all of you here tonight, the dear Christians around the world, what are we to do? How should we live? Well, we should do the duty that we ought to be doing, and that is sharing the good news of the gospel, making disciples, proclaiming the word, and enduring. enduring all of this to the end. Something wonderful is on the horizon at the end. And there are phrases that somebody used to say a lot. They would say this: it's going to be better than ever before. And the best is yet to come. That is what it says here at the end of Daniel. It's going to be better than ever before. And the best is yet to come. Now, how does this text point to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Let's go back to verse number 7. Verse number 7, "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, it shall be for a time, times and an half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." In verse number 7, we have a Christophany. We have a pre-incarnate appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Both in appearance and action, he displays God's glory and God's greatness, unlimited power. He is the sovereign Lord of history. These worthless, petty tyrants that run around the globe, all of these antichrists and the antichrist himself, these worthless, petty tyrants, they come and they go. The Most High, our great God in heaven, puts them up and he puts them down. He rules over human kingdoms. He gives them to whomsoever he will, even the basest of men. We do not bow to any of those men. We bow only before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this study in the great book of Daniel. We marvel at this man who was so submitted to you, this man of prayer, this man of power with God. And we see how you used him to write these marvelous truths. Some we understand, some we do not. But we thank you, Lord, that we've been able to have this time together to study this wonderful book of Daniel that you have put in through him. So, Father, we ask that you might encourage our hearts as we look towards the end of time. And the best is yet to come. We're looking forward to that day when we are going to be with you forever and ever and ever. And we can't even imagine how great that is going to be. So we ask that you would enable us to have the patience we need right now. That you would give us the zeal for you. And we ask that you might endeavor and help us to endeavor to share the good news and make disciples while there is yet time. So we glorify you here tonight. We give you praise, we give you thanksgiving. May we go forth as enthused servants of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.